is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Well, it's been about a week since we podcasted. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Today. I'm Adam Azer. At Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, with at Dave Richard. And at Jamie Eisenberg. And hey, what's up, guys?
We're more than just Twitter handles, Adam. We are people
who tweet
feelings, thoughts, opinions, beliefs, feelings.
Hashtag funny. Hashtag you're serious. Hashtag smiling.
What are you talking about? Hashtag I really don't know what you're talking about.
Go ahead, Jamie. Tell them.
Well, Dave said we're more than Twitter handles.
Oh, you're hashtagging. Okay.
That was being a Twitter
handle. Actually pretty funny. I like that. All right, so today on the show, we have a lot of news to talk about. Not just Giants news, but they did really make the biggest waves, releasing Victor Cruz, releasing Rashad Jennings, but really a lot going on over the last week. So we'll talk about Latavius Murray and Oakland not expected to bring back Latavius, the Jets voiding Ryan Fitzpatrick's contract, a lot of Bills news, Tony Romo updates. Good stuff from Jason Lockenfora on CBSSports.com. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, the story is still up. You have to scroll down a little bit because it's, you know, it probably won't be up for that long, but you can Google it. Jason Lockenfora wrote a story on Lorenzo Alexander. It's called The NFL's Most Intriguing Free Agent, and it's quite intriguing, so I recommend reading the story. Very cool stuff. Also, you know, Jamie was chatting yesterday. What are we going to talk about? Jamie decided to come up with a fantasy wish list for every single team. And that should get us, you know, actually into next week, we'll be able to talk about some of this stuff. But today we'll do the AFC East. And I actually, that's where I want to start, guys. The fantasy wish list for the AFC East. These are according to Jamie Eisenberg. Buffalo, his wish list for Buffalo, a number two wide receiver to start opposite Sammy Watkins. Dave, did you put that on the Bills wish list right now?
Well, can I just put an asterisk by this first?
No. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
I like the no answer better.
The asterisk would be that, you know, everybody's healthy. You know, so Sammy Watkins playing 16 games would clearly be, I think, number one if you're looking at a wish list for Buffalo. You know, LeSean McCoy playing 16 games, staying healthy. But taking those things out of the equation, you know, it's what would these things do to help fantasy owners for the upcoming season for these respective teams?
Yeah, and I think we kind of summed it up like almost like draft / free agency wish list, right?
Right.
So that's one way to think of it. Okay, Dave.
Doesn't this team need a quarterback?
Well, they currently have one.
Well, they have Tyrod Taylor, but
so
he's going to make a ton of money next year.
I went in with the assumption that he's still the quarterback. So if that changes, then we'll have to adjust this wish list.
What do you think? A number two wide receiver opposite Sammy Watkins. Here's my question. Would that help or hurt Sammy Watkins?
It's hard to say. I mean, if it's Alshon Jeffrey, probably hurts. If it's, you know, some rookie that they draft, like what we saw Houston do with Will Fuller, like we saw the Saints do with Michael Thomas, it could hurt, you know, because those guys are you know, potentially be dynamic playmakers. Thomas proved himself. Fuller had some moments. You know, it could just be somebody that, you know, just adds another element to their offense, which gives us another player to draft and consider.
I've been doing a lot of digging on offensive coordinators, and obviously Buffalo has a new one. It's Rick Dennison. He's been the wingman for Gary Kubiak for the last 15 years or so. It's going to be the West Coast offense. It's actually a decent fit for Tyrod Taylor because they asked the quarterback to move around so much. But we've seen that offense in the past deliver multiple quality receivers for fantasy football. And Sammy could be that guy. And if he's not healthy, they need another guy anyway. Sure, it'll be great for Sammy Watkins if they have another receiver on the other side. But whoever that other receiver is could have a real good opportunity if Sammy gets banged up again, misses a few games during the season. That other guy will be the number one guy.
So let's just say Tyrod Taylor comes back as the quarterback. Right now, a lot of different reports, but according to the Buffalo News, general manager Doug Whaley would consider starting Cardell Jones at quarterback. And as Dave mentioned, Taylor has a lot of money coming to him. He doesn't want to restructure his contract because if they cut him, he thinks he can get more money as a free agent. But here's a very important stat for Buffalo. 2 years in a row, they have had the number one or number two rushing offense in the NFL with the second fewest and the fewest pass attempts in the NFL. They just don't throw. So Tyrod Taylor was actually the number 18 quarterback in fantasy last year with the 25th most pass attempts. New head coach Sean McDermott. Dave just told you about the new offensive coordinator. Could there be a new philosophy for the Bills? And maybe they throw the ball enough where Taylor is fantasy relevant. Watkins, you know, big year. Like, he probably doesn't need a lot of pass attempts, but you know what I'm saying. Like, throw the damn ball, Buffalo.
It's going from a Rex Ryan, Greg Roman joint production, which is ground and pound and run the ball as much as possible, to an offense that will still run the ball a good amount. It's all predicated on the run. Demaryius Thomas told Jamie at the Pro Bowl that the running game, you know, creates everything in that offense. And I think they'll still run a lot. I'm not scared one bit about what's going to mean to LeSean McCoy or Mike Gillisley as the backup to LeSean McCoy. But they'll throw a little bit more. I would say, how many attempts did they have last year? Did you tell me?
Second fewest in the NFL.
Yeah.
Or the
so
fewest.
They'll still
the fewest.
Be in the bottom half, but they'll be closer to the middle than the bottom.
Yeah. A little bit more.
With Tyrod Taylor.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the Jets, Jamie. You say they need a quarterback as they did void Ryan Fitzpatrick's contract. The Jets need a quarterback to help Brandon Marshall, if he's there, and Eric Decker.
Well, clearly, I mean, this is a team that is in dire need of a quarterback because I don't think they want to go into the season, you know, with Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg as their guys. So they need to find someone, whether it's make the bold move to try and go get Tony Romo. Maybe they are able to pry Jimmy Garoppolo away from the Patriots, which seems unlikely because they're in the same division. Maybe Tyrod Taylor becomes a free agent and they go after him. There was, I believe, a report that Colin Kaepernick would be somebody who's on their radar if he's let go from San Francisco. But clearly that's an issue for this team because there's still playmakers there. I mean, you look at the backfield, Bilal Powell, Matt Forte, somebody's going to have a good week every other week probably, you know, if it still stays that way. I do think that Marshall can still rebound to some level, maybe not the elite level guy that we saw 2 years ago, but can still rebound to help fantasy owners. And certainly Eric Decker, when healthy, has proven he can be a good wide receiver. So getting the right play caller under center will certainly help situations in a potentially drastic way.
I'm starting to think that the Jets could be the worst team in football next year.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because their defense is going in the wrong direction. They've got an offensive coordinator who's never called plays before, and it was a surprise that John Morton got the nod in the first place. They've got a coach that was on the brink of getting fired. It all seems like a lame duck type of year for the Jets.
Well, that's a shame.
For what it's worth, I think the structure of the contract that Forte signed is going to keep him in New York,
okay,
which sucks for Bilal.
Yes, it does. That does suck.
That's bad.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's go to a team that's probably not going to be bad next year, the New England Patriots. Jamie's wish list for the Patriots is LeGarrette Blount. Get the heck out. Leave as a free agent. Dave, do you want to see the same thing, LeGarrette Blount leaving the Patriots?
That's interesting that you would wish that because he's been consistent as a touchdown scorer for them. I know he's lousing it up for Deion Lewis and James White, and that's my guess, is that you'd rather see Deion Lewis and James White sharing that rushing workload for 16 games rather than LeGarrette Blount getting in there and being the guy that steals it all. But I'm a guy that had LeGarrette Blount in a couple of leagues, and I know people that had him in a lot of leagues. He led the NFL in rushing touchdowns last year, which is pathetic slash surprising. Pathetic.
He was great.
He was great, but he's not going to do it again, though.
He was great.
I don't think he'll get 18.
He was great when Deion Lewis was out. He was not so great when Deion Lewis was healthy. He was way too touchdown dependent for the majority of the season, but it got worse when Lewis was back on the field and they had all three guys working in conjunction with each other, which, as we know, is the big frustration for fantasy owners, is which Patriots running back is going to be the one I can trust on a week-to-week basis. I believe he's going to be 31 years old when next season starts. He's already 30. So I don't like the fact that he's getting older. I don't like the fact that he's not very productive and efficient when everybody else is there, and he needs a ton of work to be a reliable fantasy option. So I would like to see one of the three-headed monster removed. And if they do go with a Lewis, White, and maybe somebody else, who knows what that guy could be. If I'm Adrian Peterson's agent and I made all this money and I just want to solidify my career with a chance to go out with a title.
If you're Adrian Peterson?
If I'm Adrian Peterson going to my agent, I'm saying whatever they're offering LeGarrette Blount, I will take a dollar less and get me in New England. That would not be what I wish for the Patriots, but that's what I would do if I was Peterson.
Right. See, my problem is that they could get rid of LeGarrette Blount
and bring in somebody
else. And they'll have somebody else there, but and it's still going to be a headache. They the wish need list the bowling
would be,
ball.
The wish
they need
list the would be ball. That they go with – well, I mean, look, first off, we know they're undefeated with Deion Lewis is healthy, so that's something that they can hang their hat on. The second thing is that Deion Lewis was very good last year for them when he was getting extended touches. He wasn't very good this year, but it's hard to know how healthy he was and at what point was he close to 100%.
Yeah, he's interesting. He wasn't that bad. He just didn't score. I think he scored a lot for his limited touches in 2015. In 2016, Lewis averaged 4.4 yards per carry. That was down from 4.8. But he didn't score a regular season touchdown. In the postseason, he didn't play that well, 3.2 yards per carry, but he did score one rushing, one receiving touchdown. I guess you have to question if Lewis can be a double-digit carries back just with his injury history, right? And is that a fair question?
Certainly, you'd have to back him up. Right. If he was the lead guy for New England, you'd have to find another Patriots running back in case he doesn't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if LeGarrette Blount left New England, I almost don't care where he goes. I'm not going to feel good about having him on my fantasy team.
Well, no, he'd have to go to a similar scenario.
Indianapolis. Maybe.
That would be decent. If he replaces Latavius Murray in Oakland, that'd be a decent situation.
But
for
that's
him.
Still a three-headed monster.
Right, but he'd still score touchdowns there. He'd be the same guy.
Well, he's not getting 18 touchdowns again.
Like you talk about Blount struggling when all three were healthy when Deion Lewis came back. I don't know. I think it was more of a just natural fading toward the end of the season because Lewis came back against the 49ers and Blount had a huge game, 124 rushing yards. That was the 49ers, of course. And then the next week against the Jets, he only got 11 carries, which was a season low, but he averaged 6.09 yards per carry. The next week, 4.9 yards per carry. Then it started to really go downhill. And including the playoffs, his last six games, LeGarrette Blount was under 4 yards per carry every single game. So I don't know if it had anything to do with Deion Lewis, but it sort of reminds me of D'Angelo Williams at the end of 2015, where he just wasn't nearly as good as the season went on. And that's what I saw from LeGarrette Blount. And Williams wasn't really that good this year. You know, I think he just got old. And maybe that's what happened with Blount, too, as you guys talk about if you'd want him on any other team, on your fantasy team, if he were not on the Patriots. I just think he might be pretty close to washed up. I know that's kind of
sure.
extreme for someone who just had his year, but I think there are signs.
Well, I mean, the nice thing about it from Blount's perspective is he hasn't had a lot of work in his career. You know, he's been up and down for a guy who is 30 and has really never taken any time off because of a significant injury. But he is a physical runner. He's going to take a lot of extra hits. He's had the postseason runs, you know, so that's, you know, adding to his workload. Since you mentioned D'Angelo Williams, I'll give you one of my favorite early sleepers right now, which is Carlos Williams, because it looks like D'Angelo Williams is going to leave Pittsburgh, and Carlos Williams could be that number two guy, which we know the guy behind Le'Veon Bell has been mostly D'Angelo Williams, but has been a reliable source of fantasy points.
Okay.
Back to Blount. He had 299 carries in the regular season. Yeah, the postseason, obviously, it's going to be a big number. It's career high for him. Career highs across the board. I'm making jokes saying that he's not going to get 18 touchdowns again. His previous career high in rushing touchdowns was 7. If he leaves New England, I don't know if he gets 7, even if he goes to Indy or Oakland. Maybe Indy he can, but Oakland, not convinced he can get there with all the other running backs they have. And any other place he goes, he could be a part-time back. Mm-hmm. So the best has been seen by LeGarrette Blount.
Okay, guys, we have Miami to get to and then the rest of the news. This will be a bit of a newsy show. I want to catch everybody up on what's been going on. But email us, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And say, hey, tune into Fantasy Baseball Today, our podcast. We just did our first position preview. We're getting pumped up for the season. And now let's go to the Dolphins. You imagine they'll be pumped up for next season. Jamie wants a tight end to play in Adam Gase's offense. Should they draft David Njoku, my man? They should. He won't even be there by the time the Dolphins draft. That's how good he is. But yeah, okay, Jamie, let's give this team a tight end.
Well, you look at Adam Gase's history. I mean, the tight end has been a very prominent position for him, and this team is lacking one significantly. I mean, we were talking at one point at the end of the season, remember, about Deion Sims and using him as a potential starter or streaming option because he started to get some touchdown looks. So you go back to Gase's history in Denver, you know, that's what made Julius Thomas. His 1 year in Chicago, we had the beginning of Martellus Bennett, then Zach Miller took off a little bit. And so, if you recall last offseason, Julius Thomas told Jordan Cameron, take a pay cut to stay in Miami because Adam Gase will help your career. And then Cameron you know, once again, unfortunately suffered an injury with a concussion. But if they can find a playmaking tight end, that will help this offense in a big, big way. It will help Ryan Tannehill, may open some things up for Jarvis Landry and Devontae Parker. It seems as if Kenny Stills is not going to be back with the Dolphins. So we'll see what that happens with their receiving core. I actually struggled with this one a little bit because their running back is clearly in place. The one thing I guess you could say, and again, I tried to stay away from the health related stuff, is if this offensive line stays healthy, that would probably be the biggest wish list, you know, for the Dolphins, because we saw how good Jay Ajayi could be if they're healthy.
What if the wish was just getting depth at the offensive line?
I don't know if depth or just keeping their guys healthy. They're going to most likely have to make a decision on Brandon Albert, who's going to cost them $10 million. They're going to have to make a decision on Bushrod, who's a free agent. If they let Albert go, which I think would be a mistake, but if they do, then you have to move Tunsil to left tackle and then have to find the left guards. They would actually have to be replacing their two left guards. But the biggest key, I think, in all of this is, you know, Tunsil's there in some way, shape, or form, left guard, left tackle. You know Juwan James is the right tackle. It's keeping Mike Pouncey on the field for 13 plus games. If that happens with those other two guys, obviously staying healthy as well, I think this offense could be really good with a healthy Ryan Tannehill.
I think the smart play for them would be to get a good offensive lineman in the draft. They spend one of those first two or three picks, especially an interior offensive lineman.
They have too many holes on defense to spend an early pick on an offensive lineman.
But the other picks go to defense. And that opens up what I think could be the smart play at tight end, which is to sign Martellus Bennett.
Wait.
You're taking a guy away from the Patriots. You're taking a guy familiar with Adam Gase, and you're putting him in a position of
being. You could also get Julius Thomas. I mean, he's going to be set free from the Jaguars, too. Yeah, he's not going back to Jacksonville.
Okay, wait. So, hold on. I have some exciting news.
I'd rather have Bennett.
I have exciting news. I am looking at the latest CBSSports.com mock drafts from Rob Rang and Dane Brugler, guys who really know their stuff. Dolphins pick 22nd overall. Rob Rang has them taking tight end David Njoku out of the Miami Hurricanes.
It's their biggest need offensively.
But Dane Brugler completely disagrees. He has them taking tight end O.J. Howard from Alabama.
Yeah, right. Either one of those guys would be great.
How fun would that be?
It's honestly their biggest need offensively. As Dave said, that they have to address their offensive line at some point. Again, if they let both of those guys go, they have to get in some capacity a backup center because of Pouncey's injury history, and they need to find another guard just in case they do lose one of Albert kicking out Tunsil and then Bushrod. But I think you just look at it from what Adam Gase wants, what this team needs. Tight end is as big a priority as you'll find. And I would prioritize both those rookies over Bennett and Julius Thomas just to get some youth and athleticism there.
Now, if the Dolphins do in fact draft David Njoku, I will apologize right now to the Giants and the Vikings. I will officially be a Dolphins fan next year. So, yeah.
Oh, God.
All right, let's do the news and notes. That was good stuff. We have much more. We obviously have seven more divisions. And, you know, that whole thing when I was doing the overexcited voice about the tight ends really hurt my throat. And this is the one day that I did not bring my water into my little office here. So,
do you need to go get it? Do you need us to kill a little time?
It's okay. I don't
Can
trust
you. Can you stand to be away from the podcast for like a minute and a half?
You haven't trained Zoe yet to go get your water for you?
I did train her to do that. I haven't trained her to open the door that I shut when I do this podcast. So, yeah.
I learned a lot about your little man cave from seeing you this past weekend.
What did you learn?
Well, that you have neighbors that are very close to you.
Well, yeah, it's a townhouse, you know, so it's connected. Mm-hmm.
So can they hear you when you podcast?
I don't think so. I don't know. I was always worried about that, but I haven't gotten any complaints. And the lady who lives next to me is very nice. So,
like, what if she's meditating or something and you're on the other side of the wall going on and on about wish lists and Giants news?
She's probably on a different floor. That's what I'm guessing. Like, she's probably on the second floor. I'm on the first floor.
Can I share some of the other things I learned?
Yes, you can.
Don't know. But you know what you should share? The only thing that I find funny from that night really is the comments we got on the photo we took.
Yes. So we took a photo. Well, I guess we should set the scenario. It was you, me, and our good friend, our former coworker, Nando DeFino. We went out with...
Hold on. Is this a long story?
No.
Go get your water, Adam.
No, it's all right.
Go ahead. Sorry to
interrupt. Well, there's no way he's walking away while I'm telling a story like this.
Exactly.
So we went out with the lovely women in our lives, my wife, Nando's wife, Adam's fiance. By the way, I believe Adam could probably tell me something differently, but I believe I got the impression that Adam's beautiful fiance, Allie, is in favor of me coming to the rehearsal dinner.
False. I would say, I don't know that she is or she isn't, but I would say that she's just way too nice to tell you that she isn't.
Right. But I got the impression that she's all for it. And I also now have a way to get a hold of your father-in-law.
Okay. Well,
yeah, you now, father-in-law.
Now your only connection isn't just Adam. Now you can
work
your way in.
I always told you that.
Make inroads with Allie.
See,
Allie's dad.
My ace in the hole was always Nando, because I know Nando's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I know Nando's going to know where it is, the time, the place. And do you think he's not going to tell me?
Well,
he'll absolutely tell you.
Of course.
He wants you there to give the speech.
I get that, but the weird thing, like the awkward thing, was that I've got Jamie, you know, like bitching about not being invited to the rehearsal dinner, and Nando bitching about not being one of my groomsmen, and it's like it was just a very awkward dinner for me.
You know what?
Maybe you made some mistakes, Adam.
You know what? The best thing that Nando said he's going to do is he's going to go to Men's Warehouse and ask them, say he's a member of the Azer wedding party.
Right.
And show up in the same attire as all the other groomsmen. Right.
Yeah, very, very funny. But he did say that. And
So we took a picture while we were out, and I tweeted it. And the comments, somebody compared you to Balky from Perfect Strangers.
I had a lot of hair at the time.
Hair references. I believe our video host, Nick Costa, said you look like somebody from an 80s sitcom.
The best one was Adam looks like the guy who hits on your sister, but you're not threatened, or hits on your
girlfriend.
Right,
there are a lot of who Adam looks like. So it was very funny. We had a very nice night.
We did. We had a great time.
Who paid?
We all did.
Yeah, we all paid. But Nando did the right thing and paid a little more because he had more alcohol. Because you know how I feel about it. I always get stuck with people's alcohol when we split the bill. So.
Yep.
Injuries, news, and notes. Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald are both returning to Arizona, and Larry Fitzgerald finished as the number 16 wide receiver in standard. I'm sure it was higher than that in PPR. He had 107 catches on 150 targets, but only averaged 9.6 yards per catch. And yeah, I just cannot see myself drafting Larry Fitzgerald. This guy has not been as good as his final standing at wide receiver 2 years in a row. You know, you guys agree? Just very
you
want
to get off to a hot start in your fantasy league?
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers and Larry Fitzgerald are your guys.
There you go.
He finished 10th in PPR.
Whoa.
Isn't one of the reasons why he finished as high as he did because the rest of the receiving core for Arizona was banged up?
Oh, yeah.
John Brown couldn't get it going. Michael Floyd couldn't get it going.
It certainly helped, but I mean, you know, we saw some different things from the Cardinals last year than we saw the previous year. Bruce Arians loves a pass-catching running back. He talked ad nauseum about Andre Ellington when he was the guy, mm-hmm. and you saw it with David Johnson last year. He loves that. But we saw him use a tight end. Jermaine Gresham was a very big part of that offense last year.
It was almost out of necessity.
It was 100% out of necessity. I think we're going to see if John Brown can stay healthy, and again, it's the same ifs we had going into last year. If Michael Floyd can stay healthy and take the next step, that was the guy we were, you know, talking about. Adam, especially. You were leading the charge on that, but
I
was certainly on board. I know Dave was on board. You know, I think Heath was the only one that had trepidations, and that worked out in his favor. But Fitzgerald got off to a great start, fell off again, and they really didn't recover outside of David Johnson. But J.J. Nelson, somebody I'm very excited about, and I think you're going to see him take the next step, but he's a smaller guy, a speed guy. John Brown's a small guy, speed guy. You know, so those guys aren't going to run the same routes as Larry Fitzgerald, but as we saw last year, and I think we'll find again, that Fitzgerald will be probably a good value on draft day if he just continues to fall to the right spot. You just have to go in with the understanding that if he's your third receiver, I'm okay with that. If he's one of your top two guys, you're probably going to feel a little bit queasy, but he still will have some good moments.
What round?
I wouldn't look at him before round six.
Okay, yeah. but
PPR for sure, round six.
Are we back?
PPR, I'd probably consider maybe round five.
Are we back to the drawing board here? I mean, yeah, you could get excited about J.J. Nelson, but now an excellent report. Arizona President Michael Bidwell thinks the team has solved John Brown's sickle cell issue. So, I mean, this goes beyond football. This is great news. But now you've got you've got Fitzgerald coming back, no Floyd, but Nelson now, you know, in some ways becomes Floyd. Can one guy really step up, jump out, and be a stud? And would that have to be John Brown if it were going to be anybody?
Oh, I think it could be Nelson.
You think so?
Really?
You saw when his targets were up last year. He was great.
Yeah. But a lot of that, I think he's a big play guy. There's no doubt about it. I don't know if he's... I'll say it like this. I don't think he's the guy that can be what we thought Michael Floyd could be, which is dynamic, versatile, number one receiver for a team.
No, I would agree with that description, but I don't know if Michael Floyd was ever going to be that guy either. I think we had some lofty expectations for Floyd that were probably never going to be realized. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think J.J. Nelson could be in Bruce Arians' offense similar to, and this is what he was at the time, but to what T.Y. Hilton was when he was the coordinator slash interim head coach. You know, where he can be the big play guy, but also be the number one guy because he's the vertical threat. He's the guy that's going to get a lot of those plays called. You know, the way the Cardinals play, it's a little different. It's not like a team that's going to take the occasional shot. Bruce Arians is going to dial up a lot of those plays down the field, and he's going to try and get J.J. Nelson the ball as much as possible if, in fact, he could become that type of player. And it looked like at the end of last year that he could.
Okay. So real quick, guys, just give me one word answer. John Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, and J.J. Nelson are all healthy for training camp. There are no health issues here. Which one are you drafting first?
I have Fitzgerald ranked higher, but I would draft Nelson first because I would let somebody else take Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Not ready to draft Nelson when Fitzgerald is still on the board. Because let's face facts, that's where the volume is going to go.
Okay.
It's going to go to Fitzgerald, who can work out of the slot and catch underpasses.
Thank you for the one-word answers, guys. Tony Romo prefers Houston, Kansas City, Denver, or Arizona, according to Jason Lockenfora. Houston, Kansas City, Denver, or Arizona. We've speculated enough there. We'll let that story be. The Titans are going to be very cautious, it seems. This is new news coming out on ESPN.com. They're going to be very cautious with Marcus Mariota, and he is likely to miss the team's summer work. And this is a guy who broke his leg last season, late in the season. So does this impact how you value Marcus Mariota going into 2017?
As long as he's ready by training camp.
Okay.
Put him out there. Let's see what he can do. I think he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that people take late and hope to see something from in the early going so that they can ride him for the final 67% of the regular season.
And Tom Brady says he wants to play until his mid-40s. He is 39 years old. So how about this? In a dynasty league, who would you rather draft? First-year dynasty league, would you rather draft Tom Brady or Jameis Winston?
Wow, that's a good one.
I can win now with Brady. I can find another quarterback.
I think that's
2018 or later.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to go because you could probably still, you know, 12-team startup dynasty league, you could get Brady and still, you know, later take, I don't know, like an older quarterback. You wouldn't take an older quarterback, but you could probably still get away with in a startup, maybe an Andy Dalton, you know, who can
someone who will be around in 5 years.
Right.
Yeah,
three if Brady, you know, just doesn't make it.
What if Tampa Bay takes a receiver in the first round of the draft, like a Corey Davis or somebody like that, just a big time stud? Would that change your opinion on Jameis?
No.
Knowing that he doesn't have just one guy anymore, now he's got two, and they're young, and they're going to be around for a long time, plus the tight end, plus a pretty good offensive line.
No, I'd still go Brady.
I think I would too.
Okay. I would probably recommend this. Take Brady, then draft David Njoku with your next pick. You'll be able to trade him after his rookie year. You'll be able to trade him for any quarterback you want.
True.
Yes. Okay. Running back news. The Giants released Rashad Jennings. Paul Perkins, what did he go in the fourth round of our last 12-team mock draft?
I believe so.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
And that was before Jennings got cut.
That was before.
One round too soon.
Yeah. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah. I think he's a fifth round pick.
I didn't move up Perkins at all. You had to figure that Jennings was on the chopping block with the huge cap number that he had. But the Giants have drafted a running back in five of their last six drafts. They clearly like using two running backs. It's an uphill battle for Paul Perkins to be the guy.
No, I disagree.
I disagree too.
I think, I, uh, I think they'll draft another running back.
He might be the guy who gets the first crack at it, but he's not getting it. It will take a lot of work from him to get 250 carries plus 30 catches, over 1,000 or 1,200 total yards, 6-plus touchdowns. I don't think it's a slam dunk at all.
I think he can get 1,200 total yards and 6 touchdowns without having to get 250 carries.
Look, here were his carries in the last 4 games of the regular season. 15, 11, 15, and 21. So he averaged about 15 carries in the last 4 games. And
about 4.2 yards per carry.
Jennings was healthy. And if you get 15 carries a game for 16 games, that's 240. It's certainly not a lock to get 250, and I think the Giants probably will draft a running back, and they'll probably be a late-round pick, and I probably won't give a damn about the guy. It'll just be depth. It is time to let Paul Perkins be. They should have done it in week 5. Let
this guy. Week 1, we had this conversation in training camp.
Yeah, he's bet. Well, you know, it took him a while, obviously, to because he came in late, so it took him a while to get the grasp of the offense. Let Paul Perkins at least give him the opportunity to win it outright and be pretty close, you know, to an every down back.
Yep, I agree. I think one thing that's going to be something to monitor, because this is one of the teams. Remember, whether it comes to fruition or not, this is one of the teams on Adrian Peterson's wish list if he gets cut as expected from the Vikings. And if Latavius Murray is let go as expected from the Raiders, then you have to, or a free agent if they don't bring him back. These are two potential landing. This is a potential landing spot for these two guys. So that's something you have to keep an eye on, especially Peterson. If he wants to go there, if the money's right, if they decide that they can win now, which clearly I think that they do, that's a situation I think that would be ugly for Paul Perkins and would certainly make me very frustrated to see him sign there.
They've got plenty of cap space, over $30 million in cap space. Is this a team that's going to spend a lot of money on Adrian Peterson?
Well, defensively, they're in good shape. So, you know,
they have two key free agents, though, on the defensive line.
They got to figure out what to do with Pierre-Paul or just finding a replacement. But remember, they spent a lot of money on that spot last year. And they need a lot of help, at least I would think so, offensive line.
Yeah.
potentially finding another running back. If that's a route that they want to go.
Look, cutting Jennings is great, and we'll see what they do, how early they invest in a running back. I would imagine it wouldn't be before the 4th round, but.
And don't forget, they still have Vereen.
Sure, but the other thing, they need to upgrade their offensive line. If they don't upgrade their offensive line, then Paul Perkins is gonna be limited in what he can do. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have Amir Abdullah or Paul Perkins?
That's the switch I made. And it really had nothing to do with the Jennings news. I just did it after the Jennings news, coincidentally. But when I was looking at my rankings, I switched it because I originally had Abdullah 2 spots higher than Perkins, and I wouldn't do that on a draft. So yes, I'd rather have Perkins.
Dave,
I think I would too.
Okay. More running back news. We've been talking about it. Latavius Murray, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, the Chronicle does not expect Murray to come back to the Raiders. It's Vic Tafur of the, I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong, and I apologize.
But Reggie McKenzie disagreed with that, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, he said, we like to keep our own guys, and he went on to describe that you don't find many guys that are his size and his speed that have the potential to do what he could do behind that offensive line, which was really strange because they didn't use him in that regard a lot last year. It was really after he came back from the toe injury, we saw some glimpses of that, but I think this is a team that can draft somebody and pair that or put that person in a three-headed situation like they had last year with Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington. I think this is going to be a messy backfield, to be honest with you.
But, you know, he mentions the size and speed, and I feel like I say this all the time. It just seems like Latavius Murray should be better than he is. I don't understand why he didn't have it, why he hasn't had better years, you know?
Sure. No, I mean, he flashes it, you know.
Right, yeah.
When he burst on the scene, that Chiefs game on Thursday night, that showed you how dynamic of a playmaker he could be. But then last year it was touchdown dependent. You know, he was almost like a poor man's LeGarrette Blount to start the year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wide receiver news. Instead of me reading everything, like Jason Lockenfour reporting that league sources anticipate the Eagles pursuing Alshon Jeffrey, that DeSean Jackson going to Philadelphia may not have as much traction as we once thought. He might go back to Washington. He says he wants to go back to Washington. Kenny Britt not expected to be re-signed. Sports hernia surgery for Sammy Coates. The Giants release Victor Cruz. What's big to you guys in wide receiver land?
I think the guy who ends up in Philly is going to be interesting to watch.
I know.
Whether it's Jeffrey or Jackson, because, you know, certainly from Jeffrey's perspective, going to a scenario which would have to be on a long-term deal to be paired with Carson Wentz for, you know, let's say 3 to 5 years. That would be nice.
Well, Dave, I know that Heath like really likes Jordan Matthews as a late-round pick. If they get another wide receiver, is that it for the Jordan Matthews fund?
He's fine as a late-round pick, but obviously they've got to do something at wide receiver. They need another guy there just on the outside. Jordan Matthews isn't a number one. I think he's pretty well defined as a guy with an 800-yard, 6 to 7 touchdown ceiling. It's unfortunate because I thought he could have been better than that coming out of school. And that's just where he is right now. They need somebody like that. Alshon can be that guy. I really like that fit in that offense. And I think that they should have tried to get him earlier. And if they get him in free agency where it doesn't cost them a pick, then obviously that makes a great deal of sense for Philadelphia as well. It will help that whole offense operate, period.
Okay, and I just want to say that you get another wide receiver there. Carson Wentz, in 6 games with Lane Johnson, I'm pretty sure the Eagles went 5-1. He scored 23, 14, 25, and 20 fantasy points in his first 4 games in the NFL. And then he scored 12 fantasy points on a Thursday with only 24 pass attempts against the Giants, you know, one of the best defenses in the NFL. And then he scored 22 points against Dallas and their backups. So that's 4 out of 6 games with 20 or more fantasy points for a rookie with Lane Johnson. Give this guy another wide receiver, and I wonder if Carson Wentz becomes a sleeper next year, guys.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. He's another one of those late-round quarterbacks. There's going to be a lot of them.
Well, nobody's drafting him in a 1 quarterback league.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think someone could take him with a late pick just to see how he begins the season and what it looks like. If he puts together a nice preseason, you know the training camp buzz is going to be positive. So it's all about seeing it happen. If he has a couple of nice plays, there will be people who take him with a late pick.
I don't even know if he needs another quarterback, another wide receiver to be a sleeper quarterback, Carson Wentz. You know, I think he did enough with Lane Johnson. Maybe Lane Johnson doesn't have that much of an impact, and it's more of a coincidence that they went 5-1 with him. But you know, he did some good things for a rookie. A lot better than Goff, that's for sure. All right, Victor Cruz being released. I would say I would really like to see him become a slot receiver again. And I think he could be, you know, waiver wire material if he's a slot receiver.
I think he's done.
You think so?
Me too.
Yep. Okay.
I think he'll end up being on somebody's training camp. And I bet he doesn't make it up.
Ooh, all right. What about the Giants angle of this? Any major impact here?
They're going to need to add another receiver on the outside. I don't think Shepard makes the move to the outside. I think they keep him right where he is in the slot. So somebody's going to be playing opposite Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard. Not a bad spot to be in. And if it's somebody who's more explosive than Victor Cruz, and that's going to be just about anybody, then it's going to be a good thing. There's a couple of mid-tier receivers that are going to hit in free agency that the Giants could pick up kind of on the cheap. And have is a good fit there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and tight ends. Pittsburgh expected to keep Ladarius Green, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It's been a wacky offseason so far with a lot of reports about Pittsburgh. I'm interested to see where I think we kind of feel like they're just going to be very similar to what they looked like last year, right? At the end of the
Unless they get Brian back, which would be great.
Which would be, yeah, pretty darn good. And Oakland gave Jack Del Rio a 4-year contract extension. Good stuff. Let's read some emails. This is from Chris from Rocket City. Is that a place? Like, what does that mean?
You've never been to Rocket City?
No, I haven't.
I mean, just unbelievable food scene at Rocket City.
Well,
it's Huntsville, Alabama.
You're thinking of Johnny Rockets. So Chris says, "Dear Brudzinski, Blackwood, Betters, and Baumhauer."
Jamie. Brudzinski, Blackwood, Betters, and Baumhauer.
Oh, the Killer Bees.
And those are who? The Houston Astros?
No, the Killer Bees from the Dolphins.
Oh, okay.
Not Brunzel and Brian Blair. Those are a different type of Killer Bees.
You talked a bit about the Falcons regressing due to losing Shanahan on last week's show. How much do you think the Super Bowl curse, where the losing Super Bowl team usually doesn't make the playoffs the next season, will affect the Falcons from a fantasy perspective?
Well, the losing team didn't make the playoff until 2 years ago. They did.
Was that the Seahawks?
Yeah, Seahawks and Patriots. Yeah, the Seahawks lost. But they didn't have – it was usually the running back that regressed the year after losing the Super Bowl.
Right.
Remember that curse?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. We had started with Rashard Mendenhall.
Right.
I think it does. I think it does happen. I think that a lot of teams missed the playoffs after losing the Super Bowl.
Didn't happen to Jonathan Stewart, did it? He had a pretty good year this past year. Yeah. Wasn't as good as it was 2 years ago, but still pretty good.
He just got hurt.
Right.
And that's part of it.
So is the question that Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman hands off in fantasy? I don't think so. I think people are still going to go after them.
I would say Jonathan Stewart. Jonathan Stewart scored fewer fantasy points than Todd Gurley. So he had a bad year.
That's over the course of the season, though. Week to week, he was better.
Yeah, but that's the whole – I mean, that's part of the curse is, you know, the workload is bad. But Freeman and Coleman didn't have a typical starter's workload. I don't know that off the top of my head. That's me guessing because they obviously split carries a lot.
Yeah, I'm not worried about those two guys.
No. Okay. Thank you for the question from Rocket City, Chris. This one is from Aaron, vacationing in one of the Hawaiian islands. That's pretty cool. He says, Dear Bill, Matt, Josh, and Joe. God, that feels so obvious to me. Bill, Matt, Josh, and Joe. All right, we'll come back to it. Keeper question, the first. 14-team standard, one-year keeper. Deion Lewis in round 11.
Oh, I know who that is. Go ahead.
Deion Lewis is a Patriots running back. Deion Lewis and Malcolm Mitchell, round 11. Tyrell Williams. Oh, they're all round 11. So pick one in standard scoring. Deion Lewis, Malcolm Mitchell, or Tyrell Williams?
Lewis as of now.
Over Tyrell Williams, huh?
What is it again?
Deion Lewis, Malcolm Mitchell, Tyrell Williams. Pick one, standard league.
Deion Lewis.
Okay, league two. 12-team PPR scoring. DeMarco Murray or Melvin Gordon, both round four.
Gordon,
yeah. Dave, who?
Bill, Matt, Josh, and Joe are Patriots coaches.
I knew it.
Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, yeah. Josh McDaniels, and Joe. Can you name them?
Not Joe Vitt. Joe Carter from the Blue Jays. I don't know who Joe is.
Joe Judge.
Who's that? Special teams?
They're special teams coach.
Yeah. All right. Good. Yeah,
look it up too.
I did. I only looked up Joe Judge.
Matt in a town in Northwest England.
I don't know. Atlanta.
Rocket City, England.
Rocket City.
Hey, Dalvin, Leonard, and Christian. We know them. We'll know them very well next year. I've been playing in a redraft league for the past 3 years. I'm now about to dip my toe into the waters of Dynasty with a new startup. A 12-team half-point PPR dynasty league, no salary cap, 25-man roster with 4 IR spots and 4 taxi squad spots. What golden rules for dynasty leagues can you offer me, whether for initial draft, rookie draft, or in-season play?
Kind of goes back to the question we posed earlier between Tom Brady and Jameis Winston. Don't be afraid to get players that can help you win now. In certain spots, but... generally speaking, you're going to get great values on older players in a dynasty startup.
Right, but you're not going to take, like, I know you have LeSean McCoy ranked ahead of, let's say, Melvin Gordon.
I wouldn't do that in a dynasty.
You're taking Gordon over McCoy. So there's certain scenarios where it doesn't necessarily make sense. Like, if you're looking at it from, like, Gronk versus Kelsey.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Kelsey could make more sense because he's a couple years younger and just starting to enter his prime, as you saw from last year.
But if I'm in round 4 of my Dynasty League draft and Gronk is somehow still there.
Well, that's a different story. If he falls, he falls. But, you know, you can get away with it at quarterback, you can get away with it at certain points in your draft. Like, you know, Larry Fitzgerald falls to a certain spot, he's still going to make sense to your team, even though you may be comparing him to Tajay Sharpe. You know, you're not going to take the younger guy who may have a huge upside.
But there will be people in the league who will only take young guys. They will load up on young guys.
Sure.
They will play to that angle far more, and that'll create some good values among veterans. Who's the number one pick? If you're in a dynasty and you've got the number one pick, half-point PPR.
Zeke.
Taking David Johnson over Zeke?
I
think if it's a half-point PPR, I'm with you. I was thinking standard that I would take Zeke.
So what is the answer if you guys were going to... right now, if I put you on the spot, Travis Kelce or Rob Gronkowski in Dynasty League?
What round are we in?
Does it really matter? Who goes first?
Gronk's still going to go first.
Yeah.
I was just posing a scenario. I would still take Gronk first.
Oh, that's interesting. It's very interesting. Okay. Thank you for the...
But I think, like, if you're looking at it as Greg Olsen, who's near the tail end of his career...
Or Hunter Henry.
It's interesting. I'm a big fan of Hunter Henry. I would go with him.
I would definitely take Hunter Henry in that scenario.
How many years does Olsen have left? 2, 3? Maybe.
Say 3.
Can he keep up the 1,000-yard stretch?
That's the
that
thing.
He's on?
I mean, think about what happened to Jason Witten and how he fell off a cliff.
But you wouldn't take, like, Zach Ertz over Greg Olsen, would you?
Yeah, I would.
You would? Because I don't know that Ertz is ever going to be, like, a great tight end for fantasy.
But he might be a good tight end longer than Olsen.
He started to come
NFL.
On toward the end of last year, though. Touchdowns were there a little bit more.
We've said that before.
Yeah, that happened each of the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, could it be good? Sure. Can I also draft good any other year? You know, like, probably. Although, I suppose if everybody's being kept in a dynasty league, maybe not.
But we're talking about a startup, though.
Right, all I'm saying is, like, if Ertz is never so good where he's, you know, a steal at the value, then I don't know that I can't just draft him or draft the equivalent next year in the free agent draft. Depends on the league rules, I suppose. Ah, all right, whatever. Okay, I'm confusing myself and everyone else. So,
yeah.
Tony from San Jose, living in Elk Grove, California, says, go Broncos, and he says, dear Teen Wolf, DJ Milk, and 7-Minute Abs guy, I guess that's me, who should I keep for my franchise keeper league? 14 teams, 6 point per passing touchdown, one keeper per team for just 1 year for last year's draft value. Devontae Freeman in round 2, Tevin Coleman in round 8, or Drew Brees in round 4. Tough one.
It is, because Coleman's the best value. You're not going to get Freeman back, and I don't think you're going to get Brees back either. It's a 14-team league, so yeah. It makes quarterbacks a little bit deeper.
So Freeman round 2,
14-team league, Freeman's around 1 pick.
Freeman round 2, Coleman round 8, Brees round 4.
Do we know where he picks in round 1?
We don't.
Is there a way he could keep Coleman and draft Freeman?
Probably not.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, with his first round pick.
Yeah.
Could happen. Okay.
If you think you can get Freeman back in round 1, I would do that.
Or better.
Sure. Or somebody better than Devontae Freeman.
Okay.
If you can't, then I think Freeman's the keeper.
Finally, an email from Chris. Where's Chris from?
Chris is from Baltimore, Maryland.
Chris from Baltimore. Dear John, Terrell, Shannon, and Ed. Denver Broncos, yeah. Super Bowl studs from 1998. I'm still convinced someday I'll answer my email. Fingers crossed this is the one. All right. 12-team keeper league, we get $30 to play with. Players drafted in the first round cost $20, second round $19, and it goes down $1 from there until the end. So, starting with $30, free agents are $8, and they take the place of those picked in our draft. My options are as follows. Pick the best combo, less than or equal to $30. I have the 12th pick in a 12-team snake draft. Okay. Let's see. David Johnson for $20. Mike Evans is $18.
Before you read the names, I have a question.
Yeah.
Can you keep as many players as he wants up to $30?
I don't know.
It doesn't say no. It doesn't look like there's a limit.
He says he gets $30 to play with.
Yeah. So, okay.
Keep reading. I'm sorry. Start over.
Yeah, no, this is tough. All right. So find the best combination of $30. David Johnson is $20. Mike Evans is $18. Travis Kelce is $15. So you cannot keep two of those three, Johnson, Evans, Kelce. Matt Ryan is $8. Michael Thomas is $7. Kenneth Dixon is $8. And Paul Perkins is $6.
So in theory, he could keep the last four guys, Ryan, Thomas, Dixon, and Perkins.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly $30.
It's $29.
Well, I was math major. I was including gratuity, so.
Right, or he could keep two studs and David Johnson and Mike Evans.
Wait a minute, on a $19 bill, you're only going to tip a buck?
$29 bill, I'm only going to tip a buck. You know,
$29.
No, he can't do that. He can keep.
Right, he can't keep any combination of the first three guys.
He could keep, let's say, no, he can't do that either.
He could keep Travis Kelce, Michael Thomas, and Paul Perkins.
He could do that, and yeah. He could keep, yes. All right, I think Michael Thomas is the easiest one to keep at $7.
Yep.
I would say Paul Perkins might be the second best.
I think you...
I would keep the last four.
Yeah. All right, so here's the question.
If you keep David Johnson, do you lose the first round pick? I don't think he does.
No.
Because it's a $30 keeper thingy.
Right, and then he
so he still gets a first round pick, and he gets David Johnson for 20. I'm going David Johnson and Michael Thomas.
Right, that's what I was going to ask.
Then you have those two guys plus your 12th pick, which could conceivably be...
It'll be the equivalent of a late third round pick in a normal draft.
Or do you keep... No, you can't make it worth it. That sucks. It's $31 if you go...
I know.
Evans, Thomas, and Perkins.
Yeah. All right. So I guess for you at home, the question is, would you rather have David Johnson and Michael Thomas or Matt Ryan, Michael Thomas, Kenneth Dixon, and Paul Perkins?
I think that's ridiculous value, though, for those four guys.
I think I'd go David Johnson and Michael Thomas.
It's certainly the easy choice to lock up the studs.
Yeah.
But you have top five quarterback, top 10 wide receiver, potentially two top 20 running backs, and still your 12th pick.
I mean, but potentially two top, is it fair to say potentially two top 12 running backs and Dixon and Perkins, best case scenario, those guys are the starters?
No, I don't think Dixon would get that.
It would take a lot for both those guys. They could. I mean, clearly we've seen guys, you know, have inconsistent rookie years and come back and have great second years. Jay Ajayi being, you know, a great example of that, but, and Melvin Gordon.
To be honest with you, like, it sounds lofty, but being a top 12 running back is always less impressive when you look at who number 12 is. Last year, number 12 was Frank Gore.
So. Right. So it's not a huge stretch to see it happen. But if you were to say you get 12 and 15, let's say Perkins is the 12th best running back and Dixon's 15, and you pair them with Ryan and Thomas and then still, you know, have the opportunity to get somebody in at 12 overall, that's a stud. But if as Dave's scenario was right, if he doesn't lose the draft pick value, so he has David Johnson, Michael Thomas, and then all of his draft picks, that's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for a fun show, guys. We have more wish lists to get to. Please erase that from your memory, Men in Black it. And for Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Adam Azer, David Njoku. See you later.